edge of my hand. I dipped two film canisters below the surface. I capped these, walked back to my truck, and drove away before a stranger could appear from the nearby house and run me off the property. I figured that the water might come in handy someday. If my mother ever grew ill and her death was near, I would bring this water to her. The spring had kept many people alive before her. It was an essential stopover for Spanish explorers in the 17th and 18th centuries, and for whomever traveled the desert for the previous millennia. I would slip its water between her lips, tilting her head up with my palm. Her body might recognize it, the way salmon make sudden turns to follow obscure creeks, the way dragonflies work back to the one waterhole held between desert mesas. An early memory of the low Sonoran desert where I was born is of my mother walking me out on a trail. I remember three things, each a snapshot without motion or sound. The first is lush green cottonwood trees billowing like clouds against the stark backdrop of cliffs and boulders. The second is tadpoles worrying the mud in a waterhole just about dry. Each tadpole, like the eye of a raven, weighted black and moist against the sun. The third is water streaming over carved rock into a pool clear as window glass. These three images are what define the desert for me. At an early age, it was obvious to me that water was the element of consequence, the root of everything out here. Even to say the word Sonoran required my lips to form as if I were about to take a drink, and the tone of the word hovered in the air the same as agua, or water. The desert surface is carved into canyons, arroyos, cañoncitos, ravines, narrows, washes, and chasms. The anatomy of this place has no other profession but the moving of water. When you walk out here, you walk the places where water has gone, the canyons, the low places, and the pour-offs. Because travel is too difficult against the grain of gullies or up in the rough rock outcrops. At the time that I gathered my mother's spring water, I was out of work, beginning a series of month-long foot treks through each of the North American deserts, starting here in the Chihuahuan, a desert that in winter sounds like fields of rattlesnakes, with dried seed pods of yucca ticking in the wind. In the coming months, I pressed myself into the desert, the land of my familiarity. When I pressed hard enough, water came out. As I traveled from this West Texas spring, I saw water issuing from each piece of desert, and every turn I made pushed me into water. In the desert below the Chisos Mountains, near the Mexican border, and just south of my mother's spring, I found small creeks flowing during the night, then drying and disappearing come daylight. When night fell again, the creeks flowed once more with small fish, appearing like driven spirits out of what had been nothing but dry stones. Diving water beetles suddenly flashed alive in the new water. I witnessed these events like miracles. It was a season of unusual water. March rains had gone heavy, flooding the desert. I was in my early 20s and had been in the desert enough, but hadn't seen this. I'd not seen water leaking from fissures in rocks, ferns uncoiling in the shade of cacti, or rivers plunging along canyons I always knew to be dry. In the desert, water in any amount is a tincture, so holy that it will burn through your heart when you see it. To see it erupting from the ground was impossible. On this cross-country journey, I slept beside a flash flood at the mouth of a slot canyon in Utah. The next morning, I climbed into the canyon where the last of the flood's earnest red water coursed along the floor. I dipped my hand to gather the flood water, then brought my hand back up. I put the thick water to my lips, and it stung with a sour taste of dead animals and fresh mud. There are two easy ways to die in the desert: thirst or drowning. This place is stained with such ironies, a tension set between the need to find water and the need to get away from it. The floods that come with the least warning arrive at the hottest time of the year, when the last thing on a person's mind is too much water. It is everything here. It shimmers and rises and consumes and offers and drops completely away, changing everything. I watch it move and can't help but want to walk straight into it, to be taken, to be purified by its oblivion, to never come back. This Utah canyon's interior had been swept into sensuous, conical chambers. Down the walls, the light of day bent until the place became as dark as an avocado bruise, me below wading through leftover floodwater. The entire